Good morning. Good morning. Will you turn to Matthew chapter 22, please? Matthew 22. This sermon is called The Two Great Commands, another of my catchy sermon titles. If I was going to give this a catchier title, it would be, What Does Loving God Look Like? That's still not very catchy. I don't do that well. But then you wouldn't know that the sermon's about the Lord's two great commands. And that won't do. So this is the two great commands. Have you found Matthew 22 yet? Let's read our scripture. Matthew 22 verses, starting at verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Tests were usually Tests from the Pharisees and such were usually to get Jesus in trouble. And in these discussions, Jesus never ended up in trouble, except that sometimes he made people angry. In this case, they seemed satisfied with his answer. What makes this little conversation interesting is that Jesus knew the answer to the question, but he did not like the question. Jesus told them that the first and greatest commandment was, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. At that point, Jesus had answered the Pharisees' question. The Pharisees would have been satisfied with this, but Jesus was not satisfied. Jesus was not satisfied because loving God is too open-ended. The first commandment is clear about how much we love God without any reservation. But it says nothing about how that will look. How do we love God? So without pausing, Jesus added a second command. In the mind of Jesus, the right question was, what are the two greatest commands? Not one, not three, two. The second command is like it, Jesus said. The second is not the greatest, but it is like the greatest in that it also stands above all the others. The first and the second both stand above all the others. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two, said Jesus. Moses taught Israel two things, to serve only God and how to treat one another. And the prophets warned Israel about the same two things. They were not being faithful to God and they were treating each other poorly. So these two are a pretty good summary of the law and the prophets. So don't miss the obvious. We do many different things because we love God, and that's fine. But one towers over the rest. We love God by how we treat people, and neighbor means near people. Not those far away, but those around us. That's how we love God. It's actually quite awkward. We don't do well at this. And now we will go over this more carefully, answering two love questions. What does love God mean, and what does love our neighbor mean? And a third question, who is our neighbor? Loving God in Deuteronomy. Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy 6. In this part of Deuteronomy, loving God and fearing God go hand in hand. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands. That's Deuteronomy 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength. That's Deuteronomy 6. Later in Deuteronomy 6, fear the Lord your God and serve him only. Deuteronomy 7, God keeps his covenant with those who love him and keep his commands. And here's kind of a summary in Deuteronomy 10. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve him with all your heart, and observe the Lord's commands and decrees. So love is an important word in the Bible, and it's an important word in our society, but the Bible and our society are not quite talking about the same thing. So if we're going to understand what Moses meant and what Jesus meant, we need to listen to the Bible. So here are the words that go with loving God. Fear God from the heart. Keep His commands. Serve God only with all our heart and all our soul. Keep His commands. Walk in obedience to Him and observe His ways. So be careful when you pour out about how much you love God. You're probably not, when we say that, we're not necessarily answering what He's asking for. So these are the kinds of things. Loving God is certainly from our heart and soul, and it means serving and obeying faithfully in a covenant relationship. That's what it means. And don't make this blend of love and obedience an Old Testament quirk. Listen to Jesus. If you love me, keep my commands. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Anyone who does not love me will not keep my teaching. As the Father loved me, so I have loved you, and so remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. You're my friends if you do what I command. So this is not how we usually think about love. And when we describe how much we love the Lord or we love God, we're usually thinking about something else. But this is an important part of what it means to love God and to love the Lord. So love God, fear Him, serve Him, walk in obedience, live in His ways. Let's do this with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our might. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is from Leviticus 19, and we'll look at Galatians 5, 2. So, love your neighbor as yourself assumes that we will take care of ourselves. The Bible says, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed it and take care of it. That's how we love ourselves. And that's good, and that's right. We were made to do that. God built that into us, and He likes it that way. So the command does not say, stop taking care of yourself. It says, include your neighbor in this. Feed yourself and them too. Take care of yourself and them too. In obedience to this command, we do for others what we do for ourselves. The command is not teaching us to love ourselves. It assumes we will love ourselves in this way, that we feed and take care of our bodies and so on. The second command tells us to include others in this. So love your neighbor as yourself is in Leviticus 19:18. Here's the whole verse. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. Don't seek revenge or bear a grudge. So the opposite of loving your neighbor will be getting even or walking around angry at them. It involves the heart, and it means don't be angry against them, before them. They made you angry, but instead of getting even or just staying angry, take care of them as well as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5:13. Paul quotes Leviticus 19:18 and Galatians 5:13. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So, what does love your neighbor mean in Galatians 5? It is the opposite of biting and devouring each other. It is to serve one another humbly. When we turn away from attack and revenge, and instead serve one another humbly, we're loving our neighbor as ourself. And who exactly is our neighbor? The Bible uses neighbor, the same word we use, but it uses it in a different way. We use neighbor to mean the people living right around us, the people across the street, the people who live beside us, the people who live on the other side of our backyard. And for the most part, that is not how the Bible uses the word. The whole verse in Leviticus read, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people." Anyone among your people. We read from Galatians 5 where Paul quoted this command. And who did Paul take their neighbor to be? "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Serve one another humbly in love. If you bite and devour each other, watch or you will be destroyed by each other." So the believers in Galatia will certainly have had unbelievers living all around them, but that's not how Paul understood this command and not how he understood neighbor. The neighbors were one another, believing brothers and sisters in the churches. Paul also quotes, "Love your neighbor as yourself" in Romans 13, and he begins that paragraph, "Let no debt stand unpaid except the continuing debt to love one another." Okay, love one another. And then he quotes what he calls the most important command, "Love your neighbor as yourself." So Romans 13 and Galatians 5 are the only two times the New Testament letters use "love your neighbor as yourself," and both are written to guide life among believers. The Greek word for neighbor is plesion. Paul uses plesion in these two places, and if it's three other times in the New Testament, two in Paul and one in James. In every case, plesion, neighbor, means other believers. That part is clear. When Jesus told the people about these two great commands in Matthew 22, Jesus was talking to Jews, to Israelites, to those who were part of God's covenant people. You know, there was a Greek city in Galilee named Sepphoris, only a couple miles from Nazareth. In the time of Jesus, it was bigger than Nazareth or Capernaum or Bethsaida or Cana. But although we read about these other places in the Gospels, we never read about Sepphoris. Why? It was a Gentile city. And Jesus never went there. He was calling Jews. He meant neighbor the same way Moses did, other covenant people of God. And now perhaps you're getting nervous, and you should be. You're thinking, we don't just love other Christians. Jesus calls us to show love to everyone. And you are right. We read Galatians 5, humbly serve each other, don't bite and devour each other. In Galatians 6 we read, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially the household of faith. That line is just right. Doing good when we have a chance to do so is not exclusive. The Lord's people do that for everyone, but there is a priority on the household of faith. A man asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" The question made Jesus nervous, because God's people are not to be exclusive in serving others. Moses himself talked about helping enemies and taking care of foreigners. So Jesus told the man the parable about the Good Samaritan. If you or I are on a lonely road and we come upon someone in trouble, do we pass by because they don't have our faith or are actually one of our enemies? No, not a chance. As we have opportunity, we do good to all. Paul and James knew the Good Samaritan story, but it did not change how they used the word neighbor. My brothers and sisters, we do not exclude any people from our care and help, but we need to know how the apostles used the word neighbor when they wrote to churches. And we need to know that when the New Testament letters to churches applied "love your neighbor as yourself," they talked about how believers act toward each other. Paul and James knew the two great commands, and we need to know what they did with them. Here's how the apostle John wrote about the two great commands. "Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. That's 1 John 4. So, we're talking about these things here for two reasons. One, we are right now in the middle of something that deeply divides believers. The two great commands have never been more important for us. Grasping the most important way to love God has never been more important. And two, we're moving toward our covenant of membership. And that covenant is our way of taking hold of these commands and doing what we can to build them into our life together. So you people have been strong in living this out. There's no doubt about that. The Lord has helped us. But it's not over. So let's not grow weary in doing good. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, we can't say you weren't clear. You have been clear. You have shown us what it means to love you, and you are also showing us what you love to see on earth, your people taking care of each other like this. And so we ask you that the Holy Spirit will always produce this fruit in us. O God, may our hearts always be turned toward you, leaning toward you in your ways, and may that always show in how we live with each other. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the Lord make our love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen our hearts so that we will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.